Well, the word Christmas leaves each of us with a different emotion. For some, it means traditions and the warm feeling of hearth and home. But for others, probably most, it's more about memories and maybe family dynamics or too much to do and not enough shopping days left until Christmas. But I look out at a room full of women, and I know that there are a lot of different emotions represented here in this room. I've had conversations with many of you, and I know that things have been hard because we live in a broken world. So there are a lot of heartaches and hopes just represented here in this room. We hear certain words more at Christmas time, like joy and peace. But there are two words we don't hear very much at Christmas, and they're words we need at Christmas, and really every day of the year, and they're the words, fear not. You know, one of the most common emotions among us is fear, but one of the most common commands of Scripture is fear not. In fact, it's found over 365 times in Scripture, which tells me that the Lord knew we'd need this message every day of the year, and not just at Christmas. And really, fear not is the message of Christmas. We find these words four times in the Christmas story. They were spoken by an angel to individuals who were each given a reason why they weren't to be afraid, and they were each accompanied by an announcement of the coming of Christ. You know, in the Garden of Eden, the first response to the first sin was fear. Along with sin, fear entered the picture. There'd never been fear before, but suddenly that was part of the world that God created. But when Christ entered the world, he came to take away all fear, to give us a reason not to fear. We're told that God doesn't give us a spirit of fear. It's not from him. But he's not indifferent to the fact that fear exists and we all struggle with it. So when he sent his son, every time his coming was announced, the first words were fear not. And the Lord never told anybody to fear not or don't be afraid, and then left it at that, as if it's that easy to do. All 365 times in Scripture, when he tells us not to be afraid, he gives us a reason why. And that's also true in the Christmas story. The message of Christmas is more than just fear not. It's all about the reason why we don't need to be afraid. You know, all throughout the Old Testament, God had ways of speaking to his people. Hebrews tells us that at various times and in various ways, he spoke in time past. But there came a point when God became silent for 400 years. But the words that broke that silence were the words of an angel to Zacharias, a priest. And those words were, fear not. We're told in Luke 1 that Zacharias and his wife Elizabeth were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. But they had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well advanced in years. So the Christmas story starts with an elderly couple who were faithful to God, even though he had been silent. They knew the law and the promises of God, and they were looking forward to God's promises being fulfilled. But they had hoped and prayed for years for a child. But now they were too old, and Elizabeth was barren. God hadn't answered their prayer, but they were still faithful. And in this account, Zacharias, who was one of 8,000 priests at the time, was chosen by lot to offer incense in the holy place. The incense sat right in front of the veil that separated the holy place from the most holy place, and it was to be kept burning continually. Well, no priest was allowed to offer the incense more than once in his lifetime, and many of the priests never had that privilege. But Zacharias was chosen that day to offer the incense. Well, while he was there, an angel appeared to him. And when Zacharias saw him, it says he was troubled and fear fell upon him. You know, no prophet had been sent for 400 years, and no angels had appeared to anyone for 500 years. So there had been no word from God, and you can imagine what went through Zacharias' mind when an angel suddenly appears to him. But the angel said, "Fear not." He said, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard." We're going to see a particular pattern in all of these fear nots of Christmas. First, each person was spoken to by name. He says, "Fear not, Zacharias." We're told later in this passage that this angel was the angel Gabriel. He told Zacharias, "I am Gabriel who stands in the presence of God." But he knew Zacharias' name. He was sent from that presence to a particular man named Zacharias, who had prayed over and over again to that same God. And he was spoken to by name. And in every fear not, each person is given a personal reason to them why they didn't need to be afraid. And for Zacharias, he says, "For your prayer is heard." And then in every fear not, the coming of Christ is announced. The angel tells Zacharias that Elizabeth would have a son, and he would be the forerunner who was prophesied by Isaiah, who it says would make ready a people prepared for the Lord. You know, here's a godly couple who served God faithfully. They prayed for years for a child, but Elizabeth was barren. And most likely, when she was no longer able to have children, they probably stopped praying. But the angel said, "Fear not, for your prayer is heard." In other words, do not be afraid. God heard every prayer. The first time they prayed for children, maybe when they were young and they were looking forward to having a family, he heard their prayers years down the road when it hadn't happened yet. He heard every prayer. You know, the last time Gabriel was mentioned in Scripture was when he was sent to Daniel. And Daniel was told not to fear because from the first time he had prayed to the God of heaven, his prayer had been heard. Well, in the same way, God heard Zacharias and Elizabeth's first prayer for a son and every prayer after that. And when they stopped praying, their prayers weren't forgotten. Instead, God gave them something they never prayed for. They would have a son who would make ready a people prepared for the Lord. He would be the promised forerunner who would point the way to the Lamb of God, who would take away the sin of the world. So their son would play a key role in preparing the people for the work of Christ on the earth. Remember what Jesus said about their son. He said, "Among those born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist." Well, he was born of an elderly woman who couldn't have children anymore. In answer to a prayer that she and her husband had prayed for years and had stopped praying, and was a better answer than any prayer they had ever prayed. So God had a purpose far deeper and more meaningful than the particular thing they were praying for. You know, God always has a purpose bigger in mind than our prayers. Like Zacharias and Elizabeth, we can trust the exact way that he's choosing to answer them. The message of Christmas is fear not. Do not be afraid, for your prayer is heard. Well, next, the angel Gabriel was sent to a young girl named Mary, a virgin betrothed to Joseph, and that's really all we're told about her. Zacharias and Elizabeth were introduced by a verse that commended them for their godly character. It told us what they were praying for, but we're just told the virgin's name was Mary. But it says, "Having come in, the angel said to her, 'Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women.'" So this is a 12 or 13-year-old girl, and Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, comes into the room, and he tells Mary, "You are highly favored and blessed among women, and the Lord is with you." And you would think that this young girl would be cowering in a corner, but it says that when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. So Mary's fear wasn't the same kind of fear that Zacharias had or even Daniel, who were told trembled and fell to his knees. She was troubled most of all by his saying and by what manner of greeting this was. He said she was highly favored, but she knew she didn't deserve that. But he says, "Fear not, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." So when he tells her not to fear, he says it again. "You have found favor with God." In other words, Mary had been given grace. You know, every person who has ever received grace falls under one category. We're all sinners in need of grace. And Mary knew that she was just like everybody else, a sinner in need of God's favor. But an angel was sent to tell her that she had found favor with God. He had chosen to pour out his grace even on her. You know, we don't know a lot about Mary. Many people have imagined a lot of things about Mary. But one thing we know for sure, she was a recipient of grace. And that was the reason why she wasn't to be afraid. Again, we see a pattern in this fear not of Christmas. He calls her by name. He says, "Fear not, Mary." And then he gives her a personal reason why she wasn't to fear. For she was highly favored. You have found favor with God. And then he announces the coming of Christ. He says, "You will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus." Mary was chosen to give birth to the Savior of the world, the one who would save his people from their sins, and the one who would extend his grace to others, to other highly favored ones. I'm told that the word for highly favored here is the same word translated accepted in Ephesians, speaking of all believers. So Mary would miraculously give birth to a son who would be called Jesus, meaning Savior, and through whom others, like you and I, have been given much grace. So the message of Christmas is, fear not, do not be afraid, for you have found favor with God. Well, then the angel was sent to Joseph. While Mary was talking to the angel, she asked him how this could be, that she would have a son. She and Joseph were still in that one-year betrothal period designed to prove the faithfulness of the man and woman who were betrothed. Well, neither of them had any intention of breaking that. And so the angel tells her how this would happen. He says, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also, that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God." So this would not be Joseph's son or anybody, any other man's. She would conceive by the Holy Spirit. And he says that her son would be called the Son of God. So this was something completely impossible that had never happened before and hasn't happened since. And to confirm that this impossible thing would happen, he tells her about her cousin Elizabeth, who was also having a son, when that was impossible. And the last thing Gabriel tells her is, "For with God, nothing will be impossible." Well, we're told that Mary goes and stays with Elizabeth for the final 3 months of Elizabeth's pregnancy. And it could be that it was when Mary returns, 3 months pregnant, that Joseph finds out about it. It says, after his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child, and we're told of the Holy Spirit. But Joseph doesn't know that yet. And so you can imagine what was going through his mind. Nothing like what really happened to Mary had ever happened before. So the only conclusion was that Mary had been unfaithful. So it was important that Joseph hears the truth, not from Mary, but through a divine message. So while Joseph was thinking about all this and considering putting her away privately, it says an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, fear not. Do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit." So he tells Joseph the same thing he told Mary, that no other man was involved. She had conceived by the Holy Spirit. An impossible thing had happened. So he wasn't to be afraid to take Mary as his wife. Or we could say he wasn't to be afraid to submit to God's ways being higher than his. He wasn't to be afraid to be obedient to what God wanted of him, even though it didn't make sense. This was an impossible thing, but with God, nothing is impossible, and that's why he was told not to fear. Again, we see that pattern in this fear not. The angel calls him Joseph, son of David. Do not be afraid. And then he was given a personal reason why he wasn't to be afraid. He was to take Mary as his wife, because with God, nothing is impossible, because that which was conceived in her was of the Holy Spirit. And then it included in this message the announcement of the coming of Christ. It says, "And she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." If you think about it, because Joseph was not afraid to take Mary as his wife, because he believed the angel that the impossible was possible and he submitted to God's ways being higher than his, Joseph was the very first person to see Christ, to see God in human flesh as a baby. And he was told to name him Jesus. And if you continue reading the story, Joseph was chosen to be responsible for his protection as a child. But every time he was told to go or do this or move here, he did it, because he believed what the angel had said about Jesus, that he was conceived by the Holy Spirit. He believed that this impossible thing had happened. And so Joseph took Mary as his wife. She gave birth to a son, like the angel had said, and they called him Jesus because he would save his people from their sins. So the message of Christmas is fear not, do not be afraid, for with God nothing will be impossible. Well, then an angel appears to shepherds, and this announcement has been called the greatest news the world has ever heard. Now, there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. This was a fear greater than all the other fears we've looked at tonight. It wasn't just an angel that appeared to these shepherds. It says that the glory of the Lord shone around them. And every time the glory of the Lord was shown to people, it was the manifestation of the presence of God among them. So before sin, this glory, this presence was with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. After sin, it didn't come again until the time of the Exodus and the tabernacle. Well, then when the temple was completed in Solomon's day, the glory of the Lord filled the temple. And then in Ezekiel's day, the glory of the Lord departed. So this was not an insignificant event. It had been a long time since the glory of the Lord had been manifested on the earth. It signified that the presence of God had come into the world that night, but not in a garden or in a tabernacle or in a temple, but as he's going to tell them later, in a baby born of a virgin. That night, the glory of the Lord shone around these shepherds, and we can understand why they were afraid. It's harder to understand why he would send this greatest news the world had ever heard to shepherds. It wasn't a shameful profession. It was just a lowly profession. It was usually the uneducated or unskilled who were given the task of being a shepherd. Often it was given to children to do. But it seemed a favorite way that the Lord himself described who he was. Jesus is called the Good Shepherd and the Great Shepherd and the Chief Shepherd. And there's even a Jehovah name of God found in the Old Testament. Jehovah Rohi, the Lord is my shepherd. And the birth of Christ was announced to shepherds. You know, because of Christ, nobody is too insignificant to be recognized by him, to be in the presence of the Lord. And so an angel appeared and the glory of the Lord shone around shepherds. And the first words spoken to them were the words, fear not. This time, the fear not was for all people. It says, fear not, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. And the reason they were not to be afraid, for there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. You know, when Jesus came, he showed compassion and mercy. As Isaiah prophesied, he came to heal the brokenhearted, and to set at liberty those who were bruised. But most importantly, he came to be the Savior of the world. He announced his coming and said, for unto you is born this day a Savior. And this is why they weren't to be afraid. You know, the first to hear this greatest news and to go and see him were shepherds who were tending to a flock of sheep not very many miles from Jerusalem. These sheep were going to be sacrificed for sins. But they were sheep whose blood could never completely take away sin. These shepherds were keeping watch over a flock of sheep that would have to be replaced by another flock of sheep because their blood, their sacrifice, wouldn't be enough. But a Savior was born that night who was the Lamb of God who would take away the sin of the world. He came to save his people from their sins. This is why this is the greatest news the world has ever heard. And this is why they weren't to be afraid. The presence of God came down that night to the insignificant and to those of us like Mary who fall into the category of those who need grace. He came to us in a baby who was born that night in the city of David, a Savior, not just a good shepherd, the one who heals the brokenhearted and proclaims liberty to the captives. He's our Savior from sin. You know, the only reason the words fear not even have to be said is because there's such a thing as sin. And a holy God and the realization that we're all going to stand before him one day. But we have nothing to fear when he has saved us from our sins. The message of Christmas is fear not, do not be afraid, for unto you was born that day a Savior. You know, we hear the words joy and peace more at Christmas time, but true lasting joy and peace are found only in the Savior of the world. This was good tidings of great joy. The angel was joined by a multitude of angels who said, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Joy and peace, the opposite of fear, are only possible because of the announcements that were found in every fear not of Christmas. The announcement that Zacharias and Elizabeth's son would point the way to the Savior of the world, that Mary would give birth to him, and Joseph would name him Jesus, meaning Savior. And the shepherds were the first to hear that the true Lamb of God, the final sacrifice, had been born. And before he left this earth, the Savior of the world said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." You know, when we wake up in the middle of the night, like we all do, suddenly flooded by thoughts that don't go away or things that tempt us to fear, or when we find ourselves faced with all the things in our lives that remind us that we live in a broken world, the message of Christmas, and really every day of the year, is fear not. Fear not, for your prayer is heard. You know, his answer may not be what we've asked. It may be no. His answer is always better than what we pray. So we don't need to fear because he hears every prayer. The message of Christmas is fear not, for you have found favor with God. He has poured out his grace on us. We are highly favored ones. We're accepted. The ones who fall into the category of every person who needs grace, we're sinners who find grace in the eyes of the Lord. The message of Christmas is fear not, for with God nothing will be impossible. His ways are higher than ours, and sometimes they don't make sense. But no matter what, nothing is impossible for him. And the message of Christmas is fear not, for unto you was born that day a Savior who takes away all fear, the one who is the Lamb of God and who takes away the sin of the world. He has saved us from sin, and that's why we have nothing to fear. You know, there's a familiar Christmas carol that says, "God rest ye, merry gentlemen. Let nothing you dismay. Remember, Christ our Savior was born on Christmas Day to save us all from Satan's power when we had gone astray. O tidings of comfort," or peace and joy. Comfort and joy, O tidings of comfort and joy. You know, Hebrews tells us that God has spoken to us in these last days by his Son. His birth, his life, his death, and his resurrection, they're all the message that we need. And that message is, fear not. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for these fear nots of Christmas. Thank you for sending the Savior of the world. Thank you so much that you've opened our eyes to see that he is our Savior. Pray that if there's anyone here who has never known the freedom from sin and fear because of your Son, I pray that you will open their hearts as well. Thank you that because of him and because our sins are taken away, we have nothing to fear. In Jesus' name, amen.